Welcome to Girl Power History. I am Brianna Pirro.
And I'm Alexa Kantos. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Or afternoon, whatever time you're listening to this. It's morning for us right now while we're recording. Guess what today is?
What?
Today is my 1 year anniversary.
Oh, I totally forgot.
That's okay.
Thanks for making it really awkward on a public platform.
It's okay. I've had a lot of people like text and like congratulate me for a year, which is super cute. So congratulations, you made it.
Hashtag I survived.
I survived. Yeah, like my husband's family all messaged me this morning, and then my family, except for you.
Hold on 1 second.
Are you? I believe she's messaging me right now. So the guilt has. Is that what you're doing, Alexa?
No. I had to turn off an alarm.
Oh. Okay. So after this podcast, there will be a text there from you saying happy anniversary.
It was pre-scheduled. I was just bluffing right now.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So I watched Jungle Cruise last night. It was amazing. It was everything that I hoped for. Now I'm just full of puns today. John and I were just last night just left and right. So it was very punny.
I need to watch it. What is it about?
The Jungle Cruise, the ride at Disney. Okay,
I don't know.
There's a ride at Disney. And you go on a jungle cruise with a skipper. It's the best ride ever. All the animals are fake. Oh, well, there's no kids listening to this. I won't ruin the magic for them. If there's an adult listening and you're really surprised that the animals on the jungle cruise are fake.
Sorry.
Who hurt you?
Alexa Kantos. That's who.
The Rock is in it. Emily Blunt is in it. Jack Whitehall. Paul Giamatti makes a surprise character appearance. Oh, and also, some people would remember him from Breaking Bad. He's also married to Kirsten Dunst. Jesse Plemons plays the bad guy, and so fantastic. He's such a great actor. The whole movie was great. It was super exciting. It was a little bit, I'd say, leaning more towards like the style of Pirates of the Caribbean, like adventure type movie. It was so good, so worth it.
Good.
So.
Well, cool. Yeah, I'll have to watch it. Yes, Alexa is a Disney buff. Universal Studios more than Disney, but
That's true.
But combination.
I do like my Disney. I have a sworn allegiance to a few things at Disney that really like make it for me. Like Haunted Mansion ride is my favorite ride of all time. It's my kids' favorite ride. I love the Jungle Cruise and the Enchanted Tiki Room I do it every time we go because it's my favorite thing ever. All the plants are singing. Birds of Paradise, which is my favorite plant, they're actually singing like in the room, like during the musical performance.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, so that's also one of my favorite rides.
Alexa and I were both born in Florida, and we kind of grew up going to the Disney and Universal Studios in there. Alexa has great memories. Me, the haunted, like that elevator ride, what is it called?
Oh, well, you had to go on the Tower of Terror. I've still never been on the Tower of Terror because I know better.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how old I was, like 6 or something. I was really tall for my age. So I felt like I got on like everything that I wasn't supposed to. I was crying the entire time. I'm like still like, I don't know. As a 30-year-old woman, if I would want to go onto that ride still. It's like that memory is like ingrained in my head and I'm just like, ah! So I have a incredible story for you. It's nothing like what we have done in the past, and I am really excited about this one. I am extremely passionate about cooking and food, and Alexa and I both grew up in restaurants our entire life. Our whole family has owned different Italian restaurants, so food is kind of our love language, if you would. So I am doing the Lady of the Ladle, Julia Child.
That's good. I'm really excited about this, especially because what we did in California.
Yes. Yes. So when we were in California for Dylan and Carly's wedding, there is a taco hut in Santa Barbara, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Santa Barbara. I forget the name of it. What was the name of it?
Ooh, let me find it.
Okay, you'll find it. I'll keep talking.
Yep.
And so we went to this taco hut, and it was Julia Child's favorite, like, tacos that were in LA area. So every time she would go to LA for work, she would go to this taco hut, and it was amazing. There was a little bit of a line when we got there. It's just this little, like, shack. It's like a teal little shack. Very local, like mostly locals there. We had a guy come up to us and ask if we were tourists. Apparently we look like tourists. So, but yeah, the food was phenomenal. And the horchata, oh my gosh, everything was so good there. I forget what that pepper dish was. I don't even remember what the names were, but it was so good.
It's called La Super Rica Taquiera, and okay. It's in Santa Barbara, California.
Okay.
It was so good. It was a very nice shack, I will say.
It was like a classy shack. It didn't, like, if the wind blew really, really hard, it probably would stay up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was, yeah. It's like, it kind of reminded me of, there's a place, like an ice cream place in Huntley, Illinois called the Dairy Mart. And it's like, or like there's one in Crystal Lake too, like the Freeze. Like it's a really just tiny, you know, you just walk up and order restaurant, but it's brick and mortar. And then there's like some seating.
And there was like this like old lady, like hand rolling the, like,
oh my God. Tortillas. Yeah.
Oh, the tortillas were so good. I felt we ordered so much food, and our table, like, we spent $100 on food there. And that is something you do, like, most people do not do. You can spend $20 for like two people and you will be really full. But we wanted the full experience. So we tried like a lot of things on the menu, and there were four people. So we were so full, and there was like two tortillas left at the end. And I felt so bad not eating them.
I know. I felt really guilty. I was trying to like shuffle a little bit to see if I could make some room.
I'm going to go for a quick jog and I'll be back. Good times. So yeah. So without further ado, I will get into her life story here. So Julia Child was born on August 15th, 1912 in Pasadena, California. Her father was a businessman and her mother was a homemaker and a socialite. When Julia was 18, she enrolled in Smith College in Massachusetts. Julia graduated college with a degree in history. During this time, a lot of women would go to college to meet their future husbands, and then they would drop out of college to become a homemaker. For Julia, she did not find a husband in college, which apparently this was looked down upon, because during that time, women were supposed to make babies and be a homemaker. So thank God we are not in that time.
What did you do at college? Get an education? Oh.
That's what you're there for. So after college, she moved back to Pasadena, California. She was extremely social. She kind of partied and went to a bunch of different events for about a year. She was known for being really fun to be around, outgoing, fashionable, even though she was a bit of a tomboy. She was 6'2" and very slender, which she had the perfect body type for high fashion clothing. She moved to New York and back to Pasadena after 2 years of being in New York. She was kind of doing some, I guess, soul searching, if you will, in her early 20s to figure out what she was passionate about. She had a few jobs here and there, but nothing ever stuck. Julia Child became a famous French cook, and was teaching French cuisine, but Julia never learned how to cook until she was 30. So, what? Like, none of her family. Yeah, isn't that crazy? So she never cooked. Her family was so wealthy that they had servants who cooked. So her, like, status, that was how she grew up. Cooking was not something that they were taught, not something that they were ever expected to do.
That is so crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So her life story is so interesting. And I have always been a huge fan of her. And I love her cookbooks. And there's some incredible YouTube videos of her. But I just, there's so much about her that I didn't know until I started like doing all this research. So Julia's parents never expected her to be a world-renowned chef. Her expectations from her family was to get married and have children. So when Julia was 30 years old, she was still in California trying to figure out what she was doing during this time. And she was still living with her parents. So in 1942, Julia decided to help with the World War II war efforts. And she just felt she needed to support the war in whatever capacity she could do. So she moved to Washington, D.C., and she became a secretary and she was typing index cards at the Office of the War Information. 6 months into her job, she transitioned to a file clerk with the OSS, or the Office of Strategic Services, which is better known today as the CIA.
Oh,
isn't that cool? She worked with the CIA. Like, what?
That's so awesome.
Isn't that awesome? So in 1944, Julia was, I guess, deployed, not really, but I guess it would be deployed, to Asia, where she worked with the OSS unit in Asia. And this is where she met the love of her life. Aww. I'm always like a huge sucker for just like older love stories, I guess. There's something that's so romantic about it. Like, I don't know. I find like grandma and grandpa's, how they met, like they met at work, and just like how she like describes like their meeting. I don't know. It's adorable. So in 1944, Julia met Paul Childs. Paul grew up in France. He was 10 years older than Julia and significantly shorter. He spoke French fluently and was very artistic. Julia was blown away by his sophistication. He worked for the OSS as well as Julia. They started dating very shortly after they met. Julia's job in Asia was handling all the top secret mission documents. She was never a secret agent or a spy, but she knew everything that happened. I'm not sure what Paul did. He was very artistic and he would design different like historical monuments or stuff like that throughout his career. But during this time, I couldn't find what he was doing. If he was a spy or if he was secret, I don't know. But I'm assuming he was doing something like that because that's how they met.
Yeah, and probably, I don't know, usually if they work for the CIA, there's not like, this is what I did every day.
Yeah, but actually you can find all of the documents that Julia worked on. They have been unclassified.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think it was recently, like in 2003 or something, that they ended up being unclassified.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Paul and Julia both worked in Asia until the end of World War II. Julia headed back to Pasadena, California, and Paul moved back to the East Coast after the war. After they were separated for a few months, they realized what they had was very special, and they wanted to get married. In 1946, Julia and Paul were married. They ended up being married for 48 years until Paul passed away in 1994. So a few little fun facts. The day they got married, they got into a car accident. So she, in like all of her wedding photos, she has like a bandage over her face.
Oh no.
But apparently that was like not going to stop them. They got married in Pennsylvania. And she was like, nope, we're still getting married. She was like, who cares? They were okay. It was a minor accident, but she still had to like wear a bandage over her eye for their ceremony.
Oh.
I know. I'm like, for my wedding, I had to wear a mask over my face, but I feel like a bandage would have been worse.
Yeah. Oh, was your wedding pirate themed?
So from what I read in research, they both really wanted children, but it wasn't in the cards for them. They tried for many years. they were unsuccessful at being able to have children together, but that didn't stop them from having an extremely happy life together. One thing that Julia, through her life, no matter what she goes through, she always found something positive to be happy about. Everyone who interviewed her or everyone she interacted with, she was always just known for her like charisma and caring. And it just shows that like, no matter what happened in her life, I'll keep going with it, but it's really cool.
Hmm.
So Paul, he worked in DC for a little bit. They lived in DC and then they ended up getting reassigned to Paris, where he was originally from. So they were really excited about going to Paris and living abroad. They never actually had a honeymoon. So this was, in Julia's mind, kind of their honeymoon, even though they were going to be stationed there for a few years. So when they first get to Paris, they had to take a boat over. They had their big American car, all of their suitcases and everything. And they stopped at a French restaurant on the way to Paris. And this is where she had this like revelation of how incredible French cuisine is. And there's tours today where you can go and like follow her footsteps, go to the same restaurant, go to like where she lived. And it's just really cool that they have like such a dedicated life history of her that you can still experience.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. Oysters were part of it. And then it was the meal that she had, I guess, is very simple for like French cuisine, but she was like just so overwhelmed by the service, the philosophies of the French and their like passion for food. She never experienced that in the US. And I feel like it's cultural, but it's also like our family, we put a lot of emphasis on food. We kind of grew up with this mentality of like our love is shared around food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very passionate about that. And I feel like people who meet me, they know that about me, but mm-hmm. it's just like a way that I want to enjoy life. And that's kind of like how I show love. I cook for you.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just, it's fun to have like see that was how she experienced French cuisine. So it was really eye-opening. And Paul's love language was definitely food. And I know that's not on like the five love languages, but we're just gonna put that in a love language.
I mean, that's sort of like acts of service. Would that be acts of service?
I don't know. Acts of service or quality time, maybe. What is it? Quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts. I'm missing one. Paul's love language was definitely food, and he opened up Julia's eyes in Asia to the fantastic cuisine there, and now he was starting to do the same thing in France. Julia did not know how to cook, but she wanted to learn, and her husband Paul was a fantastic cook. So in 1949, Julia enrolled in Cordon Bleu in Paris. It was a 2-year course learning how to cook classic French cuisine. She was the only American woman to study at the school at that time.
Wow.
There were plenty of other women that were at that school. From what I read, she wasn't accepted, and she had to kind of fight to be there. So
interesting.
Yeah, which, I mean, for me, it's kind of crazy to just be like, oh, I'm just going to go study at Cordon Bleu. Like, that's like such a world-renowned culinary school. So it's pretty cool that she just was like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
I think it's really interesting that she did that so like late in her life, because I feel like for a long time it was like, no, you had to get everything done by the time you were 30, and then like that's it. And now I think her style is more of, I think what is becoming more popular now is just like education is, you know, not bound by age, and if you want to go back to school, if you want to, you know, try something else or a new hobby or a new, you know, career in your life, like you can do that if you want to. And it's, you know, more, I think, acknowledged now and accepted.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, I mean, my mom graduated college when she was 40.
Mm-hmm.
So like she has a degree in occupational therapy, and I feel like there's no age limits now, but then it was like, you get married, you have children, and that's your expectation. And that's all you do for the rest of your life.
Yeah, definitely.
And age was never an issue for Julia, and you will continue to hear that throughout her life. Nothing held her back. So in 1952, Julia graduated from the culinary school, and she started her own cooking school for women with two other French women. So the cooking school was really focused on American women that were in France, you know, teaching them very classic, simple cooking skills, but not having to go to like a culinary school like Cordon Bleu. 1 year after the school was started, her husband was reassigned to Provence, France. Her and her husband moved all around Europe. They were in Norway, Germany. She loved being abroad. But during this entire time, she was working on her cookbook. So from 1952 to 1961, Julia worked on her famous cookbook, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. And if you did the math there, that was 9 years of her working on this cookbook.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
But the book is like 726 pages, and it's so detailed. It's like step-by-step process of how to do all of this, which was very different than any cookbooks that were published before. Paul retired in 1961, and they moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts, where they resided for most of their life. This is the same year that Julia's book was published, and she had her first television appearance on NBC Today, teaching how to make an omelet.
Oh.
The reviews were fantastic, and people loved Julia. So she did a few other like appearances, and then she ended up getting her own TV series, The French Chef. Julia was not a chef, nor was she French.
So she was playing a character.
There was a lot of like articles written about how she was on the show, and it kind of took this edge off that you didn't have to be perfect in the kitchen. And, you know, there was a lot of women that were watching her on TV, which she was the first having her own cooking show in the US. She also kind of broke the ice that you can have fun cooking. Like, it doesn't have to be this job that you do. Like, it can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a revelation, I guess, if you will, for her show. The series ran for 10 years, and during those 10 years, she won a Emmy and a Peabody Award.
Ooh.
The series was on PBS, Public Broadcast Service Station. After a 10-year run, she would never appear on her own TV series again because she was very vocal and active about keeping TV as a public service and not profit off of television. So she didn't want to have advertising or commercials in between her series. So she actually donated a lot of money to keep PBS going because she was she liked it as an educational platform instead of it being for profit.
Okay. She'd really hate life right now.
I know. So you can actually still see all of her TV series on YouTube today. In 1971, she released volume 2 of Mastering the French Cooking, which again, this book took her 9 years to write. These two volumes together took 18 years of her life to write, which I've seen one of the series, but I really want to buy them now.
Yeah. Are they still in publication?
Yep.
So it's not some like weird thing where like I have to go to this like shady eBay person and...
I had to go to the thrift store and do this. No. Yeah. Nope. They're still, you can still purchase them today. I just saw them on Amazon. I was like, how long are these books? Because everyone said that it was like an encyclopedia for French cuisine.
Oh.
That's how like long they were because they were 726 pages. So it's a pretty long cookbook.
Yeah.
So Julia's personal life was very private. Julia's personal life during these 10 years was very difficult, but no one knew anything she was going through except for a few close friends. And the information during these hard times actually never came out in public until after she passed away. That's how private she was. Julia fought breast cancer. She ended up having to have a full mastectomy. Her husband had several strokes and had a heart attack. Julia was his caregiver for many years until he worsened. And then she ended up having to put him in a nursing home. She visited him every day. And when she was traveling for work, she would call him multiple times a day. So her battle of cancer, Paul's illness was really, you know, on the down low. And not a lot of people knew this was that Julia was going through this. After her husband was placed in a nursing home in 1989, Julia continued her working career. She was a food critic for several magazines, and she would also constantly appear on Today's Show. And this was when Julia was in her 80s.
Wow.
So she, like 70s, 80s, she was like full-blown working. Like she never slowed down until she was like in her late 80s, early 90s. So Julia was the type of person that never let anything get her down. She was always extremely happy and grateful for everything. And she was grateful for the years that she had with her husband. Her husband passed away when he was 92, but Julia ended up dating someone in her 80s. She found a life partner who was a family friend named Roy Bailey, and they would travel together. Yes, she had her love of her life, but she also knew that she wanted to be happy. Julia ended up retiring in California, where she bought an apartment in an assisted living home. The Smithsonian ended up taking the entire kitchen of her home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and making it a permanent exhibit. You can still see in the Smithsonian today. The kitchen is where her entire TV series was filmed.
Oh.
So, which I didn't know that. And there's some like images of like they're behind the scenes, and it's in her kitchen, which is really cool.
That's really awesome.
Julia ended up donating the rest of her house to Harvard, including several written documents, recipes, and unpublished books, where they can all be found in the library at Harvard. So in 2002, Julia became the first woman to ever be inducted into the Culinary Hall of Fame, which I feel like is not that long ago to have like the first woman to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
And she also was in the culinary world for 30, 40 years at that time. So it just blew my mind that it was like, oh yeah, all right, we'll induct you when she was 90 years old when she finally got inducted into the Culinary Hall of Fame. In 2003, she received the U.S. Presidential Award of Freedom, which is the highest civilian award you can receive in the U.S. And this was given to her by George Bush. So in 2004, Julia ended up passing away in her sleep with her kitten by her side.
Aww.
So, yes. Throughout their life, they always had cats everywhere they went. And she's pictured with like a bunch of cats. So
I hope they all had food names.
I don't know what the cat names were. So Julia received many awards throughout her life. She was in over 350 food shows and appearances on television. And it's crazy to think that she just learned how to cook when she was in her 30s. Like, I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, that is really fascinating.
There was a movie that came out in 2009. It's called Julie and Julia. And it's an incredible movie, and I absolutely love it. That was kind of the first time I found out who she was. But the movie doesn't say that she was like in the CIA, which is kind of crazy. So it was really fun to like learn all of this about her. She revolutionized cooking in the US for women and really was a huge like education center for French cuisine. She really brought the culinary experience to everyday women in the US, which I think was really cool because it made it less pompous, I guess. So it was okay to mess up. It was okay to experiment. It was okay to have fun with cooking. So it just kind of put this other side to it, and her personality was very light. And when she would mess up on TV, she just didn't care. Like, she was like, this is what happens. Like, sometimes she would flip an omelet and it would go all over the place. And it's just really fun to know that she was such an innovator of her time. So I really, really love her, and her history is really, so that's my story.
I love it. That's awesome. I like that she was 6'2".
I know.
Like, you said that she was like, well, she got like, you know, pushed around in like French cooking school, but also she was 6'2", so she probably was a little intimidating.
She kind of towered over everybody.
Yeah.
Including her husband. And we're both pretty tall, like 6'2", that's 4 inches taller than me. So yeah, that's cool. Yeah, this story just makes me really happy. I love talking about food, and I think her life story is just really fun. So there's some really great recipes. I can't wait to try some of them. The things that she would teach are just so simple, like how to cook an omelet, how to make crepes, like stuff like that. That was not known by the US. And for me, I feel like it's really common now. But she like made this like revolution of like new cuisine to the US and made it very easy to learn. So
I don't know. I really think cool. that it kind of goes in waves on how many people are actually capable of making the simplest things. Even now, like I feel like so many people use DoorDash and they just eat out all the time. So maybe it's something that like comes in waves, like there'll be a couple generations that can take care of themselves and then a couple generations where their parents did everything for them. And I think it's like a give and take where other generations are more capable of others. But I think that's a really great thing, especially with Julia Child's books, that they're like, she had that out there of just like the basic life skills of feeding yourself, even with the most simplest recipes.
Yeah. And something I forgot to mention, that she was actually a huge advocate of having fresh ingredients and clean ingredients. So in the US, all natural wasn't really like a thing. And in France or, you know, Europe, I feel like they would grow their own garden. They would use ingredients from that. They would use whatever was fresh in the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And that's how they would cook. Where US, they were doing kind of more mass production during that time. And like in the 70s, that's when there was a lot of manufacturing companies that really started. They started because of World War II, and then they ended up continuing. And then like a lot of people would just have like a bunch of canned food and stuff like that, which, you know, having food in general, that's great. But Julia was really an advocate of saying, what are you cooking with? And, you know, having organic or whatever it is, just having something fresh ingredients and wholesome ingredients. And using that, that's the best way to cook with. So she really was an advocate about that, which I think is crazy that she kind of started that. And that was in like the 60s and 70s.
That's really cool. That's something that I really do admire about European cooking, is the fact that they like will go to the market several times a week because they have like smaller fridges and, you know, they take a lot more care in what they're using in their cooking. But I also think that that's a big push from their government too, because there's so much stuff that like we're allowed to eat in the United States that is not in Europe at all. They just ban so much more stuff. I think that is something to do with socialized healthcare too, because they put a lot more emphasis on keeping everybody healthy. So then, you know, you don't have to go to the hospital as much, or like you're in better health in general.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. It's just, I love cooking like that. That's like kind of our style of cooking as well. Yeah. And we kind of grew up where there was always a garden somewhere. We had our Uncle Bill that you would go to go this like football field of garden where people could just go and pick zucchini and fresh tomatoes and like all this stuff. And, having a restaurant, we would, you got married there.
I got married there.
Exactly. It's a beautiful garden. Beautiful. I mean, we were very blessed and lucky to have that as kind of our stepping stone for food. I feel like there's a lot of areas in the US that are kind of the food desert where they don't have the option of fresh ingredients. So,
definitely.
But I feel like there's been a big push to change that in the, you know, past like 10 years. And I think Michelle Obama was a huge advocate for that. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of like schools that got changed for like what the children were eating and stuff like that as well. So, it's slowly changing, but I just think it's interesting that she was an advocate like, you know, how many years ago? So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah, so anyways, yes, this was fun. I really enjoyed this one. I'm very passionate about cooking. So, this was fun for me. So anyways,
great job.
That's my story. That's Julia Childs. So, all right. So who's your girl crush this week?
All right. So my girl crush this week is a writer. She's a staff writer with the New Yorker, and she recently released the New Yorker did a Britney Spears article. She wrote it with Ronan Farrow, who's also a very famous journalist. I am currently reading her book. It's called Trick Mirror. I don't want to give too much of it away. I really like her style. She's very honest on her commentary of the world. Her book is a series of essays kind of just about life, like internet culture, scammers, contemporary feminism. I just think they're really interesting. So I highly recommend that book. It's very interesting.
What's the book called again?
It's called Trick Mirror.
Okay, cool. It sounds really good.
Her name is Gia Tolentino. So it's my girl across.
Mine is, there's a movie that's coming out that I am super excited about, which I'm probably going to end up doing a podcast on these two. Venus and Serena Williams, they have a movie coming out. It's called King Richard, and it's Will Smith is the father, but it just kind of shows their life history of growing up. And they grew up in Compton, which I think is crazy that they became this rock star of sisters in this tennis world that, you know, women were barely accepted, let alone Black women, you know? So like having that revolution of pushing them to be the best that they can be. I'm really excited for that movie. And I can't wait to talk about them. So I think it comes out November 19th. I think that's what you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for. On HBO Max and
theater. HBO Max. Yeah. So it's called King Richard. The trailer like gave me goosebumps the other day. I was like, this looks so good. So can't wait. And then, yeah, hopefully we can do a podcast on them before that movie comes out. So
yeah, that's really cool.
So that's what I got. So awesome.
Well, we did it.
We did it. Congratulations. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you everybody for listening to our podcast today. And we love you guys. We love your support. Yep. And history is her story.
We have spoken. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to our dear friends Carly and Dylan Peterson for creating our theme song and show music. You can follow their band Valentine on Spotify and on social media at @ValentineTheBand. Visit our show description for sources and episode links. Email us at hello@girlpowerhistory.com and follow us on all social media platforms @girlpowerhistory. Girl Power History.